Hello and welcome again to the Game Nuts Podcast. This is, I believe, episode 11, though I should sort of look that up beforehand. If it's not episode 11, it's episode 12.
It's right. Episode 11.5, because we never had an actual 11. Last week would have been 11.
Last week would have been 11, so this week's 11. Last week, I was on vacation, and the Claw here had to bug out, so...
Yeah, a little family crisis to deal with.
It happens. This week is Sticky's birthday, so he's taken off, like, the past 3 days. So it's just the two of us here. And last episode, we announced the Shiny Xbox Experience was releasing to celebrate our 10th episode, and Sony would not be outdone because this past week they announced two things. I was expecting maybe one or the other, but they announced two things that have made me completely and utterly wrong. The PS3 Slim.
That is confirmed.
The PS3 Slim is confirmed. And it is starting at $299, and the 80GB PS3 that's still around also dropped to $299.
See, now last I knew, and I actually was just looking this up this morning, last I knew the PS3 price drop was still just a rumor, so this is good news for me because I've been wanting a Blu-ray player. I'm curious about the PS3, although more for single-player experience than multiplayer, since I've got the Xbox for that.
Right.
But, yeah, I think probably within the next 6 months or so, at that price, I might pick up a PS3.
And my girlfriend was actually saying, I might upgrade now, so I already have a 360, she'll get a PS3, and that'll work out pretty well.
Now, what are the options going to be as far as backwards compatibility and additional features?
Nothing added, no additional features. In fact, they took out the ability to install a different OS onto it. They took out the ability to install, like, Linux or something as an operating system.
Was that an option, or was that a...
That was an option on all PS3s before. Most people didn't use it, but you could install other operating systems.
Because the PSP has an option like that, but it's called bad coding and easily cracked security.
Right, no, it was an official option. With the PS3, it might be bad coding and cracked security. Who knows, this new one. I suppose that time will tell. Aside from that, not too much. It is smaller. It's probably about the size of a PS2 thick, I want to say. It's
kind of sad. The PS3 Slim is the size of the PS2 Fat.
Well, the PS2 Fat was, like, still two-thirds the dimensions of the original PS3, so...
It's kind of like a fat person in Europe is a skinny person in America.
Right! Right. We're fast society, I love it. Okay, what else? Yeah, well, my thing with that, I mean, I wasn't...
You said 80 gig hard drive, right?
No, it's shipping with a 120.
120?
The Slim is shipping with a 120. And it's... I think that they did the Slim more because they were expected to, not because they needed to. With previous PlayStations, they've always released a smaller one, and I don't think that with the PS3 it was necessary. The PS3, the 360, I see them as, you know, being fine at, like, VCR or DVD player size, you know, something that sits in the entertainment system, instead of, like, GameCube size that you can, you know, pick up and throw around.
Yeah, and I have PS2 Fat, and it doesn't, you know... take up that much room. The only reason I would upgrade to a Slim is the hardware improvements rather than, you know, anything wrong with the size. Now, this brings up an interesting question. By the end of this year, both the Xbox 360 and the PS3 will have had price drops.
This is true, because I didn't actually say it yet. You jumped the gun, but the Xbox 360 Elite is going to be $299 as opposed to $399. This is to make up for dropping the Pro from the Xbox 360 lineup, leaving just the incredibly gimped Arcade and the Elite.
Well, I was referring to the previous price drop of a couple years ago, but there's that as well.
Okay.
So, Nintendo better do something with the Wii, because it is now no longer the best value in gaming.
Value is arguable. As far as, like, actual dollars... it is still cheaper than the PS3 and cheaper than the 360 that actually matters.
True, but I mean the
thinking.
Yeah. Wait, where's my fail sound? Too late.
Yeah, too late. I tried actually finding that for last episode and I couldn't find it. I'm like, yeah, well, we'll just acapella it.
Oh, wait. Hang on. damn it, it's lost on my phone. Wait, I have to get this ready because I'm sure we'll have a lot of use for this. And that was an epic fail for my epic fail for finding the epic fail.
And also for wasting half a minute.
Awesome!
So,
we'll just edit it out.
Yeah, whatever. I think it was funnier. Anyway, the 360 has been having a lot of fun with the Elite price drop, which, again, I always felt that black was Xbox's color, so I like seeing the Elite price drop and taking out the Pro. I wish they would have taken out the Arcade instead.
See, I think the Arcade is still somewhat essential to their plan of expanding the market. The downside to it is it's still that whole issue of the multiple SKUs, the does it have a hard drive, does it not have a hard drive, there's still...
I had a customer come in yesterday who got a 360 from another local business around here that I won't actually mention by name, but the person there told him that without the hard drive they wouldn't be able to play certain Xbox 360 games because it said Xbox Live on the front. And they came in, I'm like, no, you can still play the games, you just can't play them online.
Yeah.
It creates confusion.
Yeah.
And, you know, when someone working at some coop store is unable to tell the difference, what are you going to do for the, you know, relatively ignorant consumers that these are aimed at?
But in Microsoft's defense, look at all the different PlayStation 3 SKUs that have been out, hard drive size,
but they usually keep it to just two of them out at any one time.
Yeah, but two of them out at any one time. But if you go back through the course, and a lot of people buy used systems, if you go back through the course of the history,
there's 20 and 60 that are full 10. DC, there's 80 that's partially backwards compatible, there's 40, there's the new 80, there's the 160, and now there's the Slim 120.
And I'm guessing the Slim 120 is not going to be PS2 backwards compatible.
No, I think you asked that already, but no, it's not going to... at this point, backwards compatibility isn't part of PlayStation's plan, which, honestly, at this point, I don't blame them, because this far into the console life cycle, it's not as big an issue.
See, now, I disagree. It would make sense... It makes sense in Microsoft's case, because when the 360 came out, they pretty much dropped the original Xbox, much to my disappointment, because I still had one.
Right.
They're still making new PlayStation 2 games.
Right, but those games are also available on the PlayStation 3. So, I mean, it's like, oh, hey, if you have a PS3 and you want this game, at this point, just get the PS3 version. Early on in a console's life cycle, when there's not too many games, backwards compatibility is important, because it's like, oh, hey, look, we have 3 good games out, and you still have 25 good games from the previous generation. We want to make sure that you can play those. 5 years down the line, it's like, okay, there's 25 good games back there, but now we've got like 10 or 15 good games in here. And by, you know,
well, let me give you an example. In the past week, I bought Simpsons Hit and Run for the original Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on a open world gaming kick lately. We'll get into that later. But, yeah, so I bought that.
Open now, world I gaming, it's like fuel!
Oh, no, not another 10-minute long fuel discussion. But, yeah, I bought it because it was backwards compatible. I wouldn't have bought it otherwise because I don't want to, as much as I want the game, I don't want to have to drag out my big green box and plug that in and hook it up just to play a couple of games. So for me, the backwards compatibility is important because I like going back through my library or picking up old gems. Like I bought Star Fox Assault for the GameCube because the Wii is completely backwards compatible. I don't have to pull out my GameCube in order to play it.
This is true. You were talking about the value. The Wii is the only thing that's fully backwards compatible on the market. So it's staying at $250 is fine.
Hey, Nintendo.
And yeah, I guess I sort of agree with you on that. I wanted to play Mech Assault on my Xbox. I can't. I wanted to play Alter Echo. I saw it, and I'm like, oh, I want to play this. Even though I can never get past a certain boss because of it. But those are two that aren't backwards compatible. The one that is that I've been playing lately is Jet Set Radio Future. And that is, if you go to a video game store, pretty much anything, GameStop will have a ton of these. We have a ton. It's a two-pack that was shipped with Xboxes called with Sega GT 2002 and Jet Set Radio Future. You can pick it up for $1. I don't care about Sega GT 2002. Jet Set Radio Future is amazing.
Yes, I have a friend who bought that and was playing it. It looks interesting. I remember Jet Grind Radio for the Dreamcast, and that seemed like an interesting concept. I never played either of them at length, but I've heard that Jet Set Radio Future is really a unique and...
I love the soundtrack. I love the soundtrack. Like, I'll, you know, play it, and with the exception of one song, and there's another friend who was... Like, I walk into his dorm, and he's playing Jet Set Radio Future on his 360. I'm like, it's amazing. You know, and with the exception of one song, the whole soundtrack of, like, 30-odd songs, it's tons of fun. Like, you know, J-pop and industrial and wicked good variety.
Sega's really good at getting... good soundtracks that match the mood and also have a lot of variety in them.
Well, Jet Grind Radio made like a whole new mood for itself. It was wicked unique.
Yeah.
Jet Set Radio Future did a good job. I mean, obviously it can't be unique because it's a sequel, but it's still something that I hadn't played before.
I think Jet Set Radio for Dreamcast was either the first or at least one of the first games to use cel shading.
I think it was the first game to use cel shading in 3D gaming. The first one that I played was 13 on the Xbox, which is also backwards compatible. You can pick that up for like $3. But, I mean, I won't say it's overused now, and it can still be used to some good effect, but man, did they really find some good uses for it, you know, turn of the decade.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Nintendo to release a cel-shaded Zelda game in the vein of Wind Waker that actually takes place on land in Hyrule for a console. I would love that. I love the graphic style of Wind Waker, but the whole, you know, sailing thing, like, Wind Waker is probably one of my top three Zelda games, but the sailing thing kind of ruins it. I want to run around. Yeah, I want to run around Hyrule.
I actually realized I didn't actually say what the heck Jet Set Radio Future is about.
Oh, right.
It's essentially you're part of an inline skating gang that apparently the police force has nothing better to do than to hunt you down, and your way of protest is with graffiti. And graffiti is a way of the gangs just marking their territory, like a cat pissing on stuff. And it's about as attractive. It's sort of funny when the game starts up and it's like, graffiti is art. Graffiti is an act of vandalism. It's a crime. Don't do that. Bad.
I was going to mention the disclaimer, but you distracted me with the cats pissing on stuff. That, yeah.
That's mine.
I need to make that epic fail sound a little more accessible on this thing.
That's fine. But no, it is actually a really fun game. Really easy mechanics. Gravity is conspicuously absent. You jump and you take like 5 seconds to fall.
Yeah, I remember that. And... if I'm not mistaken, there's no balance required for grinding. You can just grind anything, anywhere, and...
yeah, you're on, like, rail, up a light pole, over the top of the light pole, jump to the other light pole, grind down the pole, and... another inline skating game I like is Aggressive Inline on the Xbox, which I think also came out on PS2, but I think it was more proliferant on the Xbox. And that was a lot of fun, and that one is more skill-based, you know, keep your balance with the grinds and stuff, but... yeah, all fun games.
As somebody who grew up on the Super Nintendo side of the 16-bit war, I've got to say Sega is really good at making creative games. First Sega system I ever owned was a Dreamcast, and I bought it for Crazy Taxi and Soul Calibur. Soul Calibur, of course, being Namco, but Crazy Taxi was, you know, just a typical Sega game of this era. Take something that would normally be mundane, give it some great music, bright, colorful graphics. Oh, yeah. Sega's the only company that does bright, colorful graphics anymore.
I know. Well, the exception of Mad World.
Well, yeah. Well,
but even then, the black and white are wicked bright.
No, the red is very
bright.
But I was going to mention Mad World, another case where Sega just took, you know, a standard arcade-style beat-em-up and just gave it a...
When it comes to developing stuff, Sega has balls, and many developers don't.
Yes.
They will take that leap, and I like, you know, Jet Set Radio, I really like because it brings me back to the days when we didn't have to have realistic graphics, we just had to have fun graphics.
Yeah.
One of my favorite racing games is called Roll Cage for the original PC, and it's very bright, fun graphics. The sequel tried to get dark and moody and edgy, but the original was great.
It reminds me of, I think it was a VG Cats comic that a friend of mine showed me where, how to make HD graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, take a bright, colorful set piece.
It's like a little bit of brown.
Put it through a brown filter.
Put it through some more
brown. Reality is brown, yep. And then gloss.
And then bloom. Yeah. Bloom. Oh, my eyes!
Yes. Playing Soul Calibur 4 really gave me that brown impression. Going from Soul Calibur 2 on the GameCube to Soul Calibur 4 on the Xbox 360, I'm like, wow, everything's
brown.
Yeah, everything's brown and kind of glowing.
Speaking of brown, I need to take home Gears of War because I've never actually played it, and at this point it's like $17.99.
So I'm glad that's where you went with that.
Get dirty. Speaking of brown, I need to get to Call of Duty.
Going back to the color red, Midway, I don't know if we ever discussed this, but Midway was, of course, having financial problems, like a lot of companies, a lot of developers.
I think at one point they were thinking of, like, selling the Mortal Kombat franchise, which would be like, oh, look, you're stupid.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much it. The Midway was going bottom up, and they're like, okay, what can we do? Because Mortal Kombat is a really big franchise for a lot of gamers like me.
Yeah.
I grew up on Mortal Kombat.
It's one of those franchises that it's okay that there's 10 million different games of.
Yeah.
You know, because they sort of space them out, because they do something good with it.
Yeah.
As opposed to Guitar Hero.
Yes.
Guitar Hero 5 releasing, what, September 1st, I believe.
Wow.
There's a lot coming out September 1st. I'm looking forward to Halo 3 ODST and Scribblenauts.
Well, anyway.
Anyway, Mortal Kombat.
And Midway. So, Midway was apparently bought out by Warner Brothers Interactive, who, if you remember, they joined forces with to do the Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe,
which I
really enjoyed. A lot of people didn't like it because it wasn't as violent and
gory
as
most. Right, it went down to the T rating.
But, I mean, if you sit down and play it, especially with D-pad, my personal favorite is the Capcom Fight Pad.
Uh-huh.
Play it with a D-pad, it feels like Mortal Kombat 2 or Mortal Kombat 3. It's got that old-school Mortal Kombat feeling, so I like it for that. So Warner Brothers Interactive bought Midway, and Ed Boon has said they are working on a new Mortal Kombat-styled Mortal Kombat game, which means full-on blood, gore, fatalities, which will hopefully be running on the same engine as MK versus DC.
More an upgraded engine.
Yes, so I'm excited about that. Good news for Mortal Kombat fans who were afraid that the franchise was about to get buried. So, anyway, you were talking about upcoming games.
Let's see. Professor Layton in the Diabolical Box releases this week.
Really?
Oh,
my wife doesn't want that.
Batman Arkham Asylum releases this week.
I wanted to talk about that.
A couple of Harvest Moons. One on the Wii, one on the DS.
People still play Harvest Moon?
Apparently.
I can't believe that enough people play Harvest Moon. Enough people can...
If you reverse that, you're going to find a satanic message. It sounds much the same as when it's played forward.
Yeah, I can't believe enough people play Harvest Moon games that they can still afford to keep making them on current-gen systems.
Well, I mean, it's a Nintendo sort of thing.
Yeah.
Enough people are going to buy it just because of the history of the franchise.
True.
It's like, there could be Mario plays in the sewer, you know, because he's a plumber.
I was going to say, he's a plumber. That makes sense.
And people would just lap it up.
Oh, God. I just had an interesting thought. A GTA-style Mario game that actually takes place in Brooklyn. Anywho. So, yeah, and Guitar Hero 5 comes out next week, you said?
Yes, Guitar Hero 5 comes out September 1st, I'm pretty sure.
Now, I want to talk about Guitar Hero 5 for a minute, because I know
we never got around to actually talking about it.
We were waiting for Sticky to be a part of the conversation, and, well, he's out now.
The main thing I have to say about Guitar Hero 5 is two things. Number one,
The main thing is two things.
Yes. Split personality. The first one is, I looked at the set list, and of the few that I'm excited about, I can get most of them on Rock Band. There's yeah. like four songs.
Especially since Gorillaz just came out on Rock Band. There goes a yeah. couple of songs
there's
I was
like
excited
four,
about.
Four songs I was interested in when I looked at the playlist, and eventually they're going to be on Rock Band. I think Rock Band wants to get 1,000 tracks by the end of the year.
Yeah. My biggest thing with Guitar Hero 5 is, and one of the reasons why I'm kind of thinking about getting it, is they've really, like, ramped up the multiplayer. You know, there's jump in, drop out mm-hmm. in the middle of a song. You can set just a constantly running playlist. You aren't required to have one mic, one guitar, one bass, one drums. Everybody can play drums if you got the equipment and people want to play it. I mean, it's nice in that, you know, kind of party game aspect. The only problem is Rock Band has maintained their game so much better as yeah. far as content.
And, you know, Guitar Hero 5 comes out, you know that in 8 months' time, there's going to be another Guitar Hero. Yeah. No, even less than that. When's Van Halen come out? March, maybe?
Who cares?
It's general guess. Yeah.
Oh, if you buy Guitar Hero 5 in the month of September, you can actually get for free Guitar Hero Van Halen when it comes out. That's one of their big promotions, apparently.
That's odd.
They're just kind of, you know. You know what?
Hey, we realized that yeah. our franchise has been so devalued that we're just going to give it away for free.
Well, that and it's Van Halen. Can you think of any Van Halen song that you'd. Okay. I can think of Van Halen songs that I wouldn't mind playing in a Rock Band Guitar Hero setting. I can't think of an entire game devoted to Van Halen. And from what I hear, they completely ignore anything with Sammy Hagar or whoever the third frontman is. People kind of stop caring about them after Sammy Hagar left. But so you've pretty much only got the David Lee Roth years, which cuts the library in half.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Again, Guitar Hero 5, great options. I hope that Harmonix takes a look at this and says, hey, these are really good options. We're going to issue a patch that will put a lot of these options into Rock Band.
Or hey, we'll be able to have three people sing at once, like in Beatles Rock Band, which yeah. is coming out the week after Guitar Hero 5.
I like the fact they finally added harmony.
Harmony, harmonics, ha-ha!
Ha-ha, ha-ha. Yeah, I need just it's a fine. Quick push button.
Soundboard.
Yes, we need a soundboard. We desperately need a soundboard. Where's my little Mario thing? I forgot to bring that in. But I lost my train of thought. Smack!
Earlier, I did actually slap myself. But I mentioned fuel.
I don't think we should talk about that on a family-friendly podcast.
Anyway, another thing on Guitar Hero 5 that's pretty cool is that on the Xbox 360, you'll be able to have your avatar in-game.
Yes.
Which I don't care about in Rock Band, because Rock Band is a different sort of atmosphere, but the Guitar Hero atmosphere works really well with it. I saw the trailers, it's like, that's really cool.
So, Avatar Marketplace, as long as we're on the topic.
Yeah, Avatar Marketplace, and you can actually get a guitar in the Avatar Marketplace now, okay. because they just came out with the Guitar Hero stuff this past week.
You mentioned something about a week or so ago, not on the podcast, but...
I wrote in, if you guys did the podcast last week, I wrote in, shut up, because I did buy something on that.
What did you buy?
I bought Halo shorts, because my character was previously wearing a long-sleeved white shirt and black pants, and it was like 95 degrees in my apartment. I'm like, there's no way he's staying in pants and a long-sleeved shirt. So, the power button shirt, you can now switch colors on. There's like 9 different colors you can pick.
Oh, sweet. Switching colors is something that I wish...
I wish they would work it into more clothes.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that could use it. But I switched the power shirt to black, and I got some Halo shorts for the character.
Well, then I still feel ashamed. I haven't done it yet, and if I do it, it'll probably be my only... Yes... I have to get that lightsaber. The problem is, I don't know if I can justify spending the 400 Microsoft points or $5 on a digital lightsaber, but God, I want it.
Here is what would make me do it. If I could switch the colors on the lightsaber. If it stays blue, I don't want it. If I can make it like orange or yellow, I'll yes. take it. So if I find that people can change the color on it, I'm buying a lightsaber.
Even if you could just change it between the three primary lightsaber colors from the movie, blue, green, and red, would be nice. But yeah, I don't know. I don't mind the blue. I'm a fan of the blue. You know, Anakin's lightsaber.
As long as we're looking at the Star Wars bit on the marketplace, there's some rip-offs on there. Like, if you go to the Halo 3 ODST part, which is also releasing September 1st, I'm poor, and I'm going to be getting two games on September 1st. This is bad.
Which ones?
Scribblenauts and Halo 3 ODST.
Scribblenauts should only be like $30-$35, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fine. I think the big game that I'm going to end up getting this holiday season is going to be Batman Arkham Asylum.
Okay. You go to the Halo one, and it's like 400 Microsoft points for a full suit of ODST armor. You go to the Star Wars one, and it's 400 for clone trooper armor, but then another 160 for a helmet.
Yeah, that is kind of sucky.
Guys, I will, seriously?
I will admit, if I were to get the clone trooper armor, which I'm not, I wouldn't get the helmet anyway, because I want people to see my face.
We don't want to see your face. Put that helmet on.
Oh.
So sad.
So, yeah.
But yeah, it's cool just looking at the marketplace and seeing, you know, I think every Thursday they put another pack of stuff up there. They put Guitar Hero 5 up there.
Yeah. And like I said, I can kind of, you know, it's nice that a lot of the stuff is just a dollar. Even $2 is a little much for most of the stuff.
But like most shirts are $1. Yeah. You know, a headshot ring for Halo 3 is, you know, 50 cents.
If they drop it down to, 50 cents, a lot of it not 50 cents, I can see, because, you know, you buy, you know, what?
Well, no, here's the reason I bought the shorts is because I had done a fair amount of purchasing on Rock Band, then I had 80 points left.
Yeah, and you got the change there.
You have the leftover.
And that's what it's that impulse purchase. I've gone grocery shopping. I've got, you know, 50 cents change coming back. I'll get a candy bar.
Yeah.
You know, it's that sort of mentality. It's right there in front of you.
Yep.
And I can kind of see that. And, you know, if they can make money doing that, great. But, yeah, I think definitely the Star Wars stuff is a little overpriced. I want that lightsaber, but it's definitely not worth $5.
No. Okay. Batman, you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, just real quick, as long as we brought it up. Have you played the demo?
No, but I saw someone else playing the demo. So that's
good. Incredible.
I'm not a fan of the over-the-shoulder, off-to-the-side, third-person perspective, that sort of turned me off to it, but I had fun watching still.
Yeah, and it's very, a lot of Batman games just descend into beat-em-up, and this is the first Batman game to really get Batman right. He's stealthy, you know,
He takes good advantage of all this stuff around him.
Yes, the grappling hook. Oh, God, the grappling hook is fun.
It seems like that's going to be an overused thing, but who knows?
You can't overuse a grappling hook, especially if you're Batman. That's like Spider-Man overusing web swinging. It's a part of what he is. He shoots the grappling hook, swings through the air, and the cape billows out. People cry in terror. Okay. It looks like it's going to be a really good game, and I especially love the fact that they got Mark Hamill as the Joker and Kevin Conroy as Batman.
Yep.
In my opinion, the definitive actors for those roles. I wasn't too happy with the voice of Jim Gordon. He sounded a little too deep and gruff. I wish they'd gotten the animated series voice for him, but still, you're not going to hear him nearly as much as you'll hear Joker. And God, they got Harley Quinn in the game.
I'm not a huge Batman fan. In fact, the extent of my Batman fandom goes to the newer movies, but
which are good in their own right. But I like how this.
I like that they haven't just ignored the older Batman. You know, it can coexist.
And the first villain that you face in Arkham Asylum, at least as far as the demo is concerned, is Zaz, who is one of the harshest but lesser known Batman villains. So it's nice that they're like, okay, yeah, you've heard of the Joker, you've heard of the Penguin, you've heard of the Riddler, but here's a really scary character that you've probably never heard of, and you've got to take him down. You know, I like that.
No, I've only got a few. Anything else you wanted to say really quick? Because we're coming down on the buzzer.
Yeah, I just want to real quick, we should talk about what we've been playing. I picked up Wii Sports Resort. I won't gush about it. Suffice to say that Sticky was definitely right. Worth the purchase. I've spent countless hours on wakeboarding alone. Bowling is great. If you've got a Wii, pick up Wii Sports Resort and an additional Wii Motion Plus. It is definitely worth it.
You said Sticky was right there. Sticky was wrong when he said that Fat Princess was cross-platform. It is, in fact, only PS3.
Yes, I don't remember him saying that. It was upside the head for that.
I don't think you were here for that one. I was like, oh, yeah, it's PS3, right? I got it on my 360. It's like, no, you're an idiot.
Yeah, no, that was definitely one of...
Apologies to all the Sticky fans out there, but...
Yeah. That was definitely a PSN exclusive. I remember that. Looks like an interesting game, and
he said Fat Princess was PS3 exclusive, and Explosion Man was the one that was cross-platform that I was playing. I forget.
Yeah, Explosion Man was. I don't know.
Explosion Man was good times. I actually need to play through it again now that we've had the shiny Xbox experience, so that I can get awards for my avatar as well.
So, yeah, I want to give that game a try. I've got the demo. Haven't.
I think when you play through the game after the Shiny Xbox experience came out, they actually, like, you can win, like, clothes and stuff for your avatar.
That is kind of cool. Can you be Explosion Man?
I don't think so. They might have a suit. It's actually, if you play through and watch the ending credits, it's hilarious. There's a guy in a Explosion Man suit running around.
I want a Explosion Man suit for my avatar. But
Explosion Man suit for real life.
Really, anyway. The game that's been my biggest time suck... And I picked it up on a whim. I had, you know, enough money in trade-in credit for it, so I grabbed it. Saints Row 2. I avoided this game for a long time because I'm like, well, I have GTA 4, and I'm still playing through The Lost and Damned. Do I really need another open-world game?
Oh, you're going to wait for Ballad of Gay Tony.
Yeah, I have to beat Lost and Damned before that comes out so that I can get that. Because I still love GTA 4, but Saints Row 2... Just if you like Grand Theft Auto, and especially the last-gen Grand Theft Autos, grab Saints Row 2. It's cheap now, and just the options, the amount of crap you can do it are incredible, and it feels like an old-school GTA. The customization is just astronomical, and don't worry about the fact that... My biggest problem is if you use any cheat at any point in the game, it locks up any... achievements. Even if the cheat that you entered does not affect the achievement
it's like, hey, cheater, what the hell?
But like, Grand Theft Auto 4, if you use, like, a health cheat, it says, this, and this achievement are locked. You can still get achievements for finding things and stuff like that. No. Saints Row 2, they're all locked. Don't worry about that. Right. Just cheat and have fun with it.
I'm gonna try to wrap this up really quick. Let's start some flame bait. Which is better, GTA 4 or Saints Row 2?
That's a toss-up.
Flame bait.
No, I can't do it. I like them both. They both got their assets. It depends on what I'm in the mood for, but if I just screwing around Saints Row 2, at overall gameplay, quality, story, GTA 4.
All right. If you got any comments on what you heard during the podcast today, go ahead and leave a comment on gamenutspodcast.blogspot.com. Shoot us an email, gamenutspodcast@gmail.com. If you want to yell at us for anything that we said, go right ahead. If you're a Sticky fan and you didn't like me insulting him, too bad. And we will see you all next week.
Look for us on the iTunes podcast directory and drop us a review. Get us up there. Get more subscribers out there so we can take over the world.